Father, we're so thankful that we can gather in a place like this. Lord, there's a lot going on in this world right now, and other places where there's war, there's persecution, and we can gather here today freely. And so I'm so thankful for that. We get to worship you in song and sing truths about you and to you. We get to fellowship with each other. We have a community here, Father, that we have a relationship with. And most importantly, we have a relationship with you. And you yearn to grow that in and through us. And so I'm so thankful for that, Father. And I pray that our people here would share that same sentiment. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak clearly through me this morning. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Yeah, craziness going on out there today, right? It's heartbreaking, actually, when you see the suffering and pain that's taking place. But we're a hopeful people, right? We're so blessed to have the Lord. And that's not the topic I'm going to preach on this morning. But he laid a message on my heart a little while ago. And it's a topic that's becoming a big problem or concern in today's society, and that's the topic of being alone and isolated. As I speak to people more and more, there's this common theme of them feeling alone. People that are seeking and yearning a relationship, maybe it's people that are in a relationship and they still have feelings of loneliness. As I was preparing for this, there's some information in a recent survey. It shared that 1 in 3 people were experiencing ongoing feelings of loneliness, isolation, and a longing to love and be loved. 1 in 3 people, right? And that's out in the world, but it's also something that's becoming prevalent within the church. Feeling of loneliness and being alone. Here's an interesting fact. The United States Surgeon General has declared that loneliness has become a profound threat to the American public health in part, and listen to this, many Americans have stopped going to church, right? So the importance of gathering and the importance of actually fellowshipping with each other is being recognized by the American Surgeon General. Now, there are times when being alone is important, and I'd say it's actually necessary, right? Being alone with the Lord, being alone in Scripture, being alone talking to Him, listening to Him, praying to Him is extremely important and beneficial to us as believers. We need to be having that alone time with Jesus Christ, right? Jesus himself was a good example of this. He left and spent time alone with the Lord, and you see that right here in Luke 5:16, right? Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed to the Savior. So it's really important for us to be alone, right? It's not a bad thing when we're alone with Jesus Christ. But there are times when being alone isn't a good thing. And that's what I'm going to focus on this morning. All right, and if I were going to title this message, I would call it, We Were Created for Relationship. Right? We were created for relationship. At my workplace, I write down every single Monday all the top priorities for the business. And I go through them with the team every week and every Monday and every day. And the number one thing that I write down every week is customer, supplier, and interpersonal relationships, right? We deal with customers, we deal with suppliers, but interpersonal relationships, the relationships that we have within that building, it's really, really important. And one of the things that I found out is that even introverts need people, right? Some people say they're introverted, but even introverts need people. Now, this started all the way back in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, when he created everything. And look what it says in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, let there be light, and there was light. And the light was good. He created day, he created night, he created land, and he created water, and he said, it is good. God created the stars and the planets and the fish and the birds, and he said, it was all good. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now, after creating all of these things and saying that they were good, and saying that they were very good, he went on to say that something wasn't good, right? Look at what it says in Genesis 2. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. This is the one record in Genesis where God said something wasn't good, right? He started by saying all these things that he created was good, but he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Loneliness was the first human problem that God identified, right? Really, it was not good for man to be alone. Loneliness is the first human problem that God identified. Robbie introduced me to this show. It's called Alone. Right? It's a show where contestants are dropped off in a very, very remote part of the globe. And you got to survive. So you got to deal with the elements. You have to deal sometimes with wild animals. You have to build a shelter for yourself, and you have to try and find food to survive. I think you're only allowed to take 10 items in this remote spot, right? You guys know the show. You're shaking your heads. Because you know what? Brian would do a great job. He would survive, by the way.
Not that long.
Right? Yeah, he'd survive. So you're in this remote part of the world, and the goal is to survive. And if you survive the longest, you're the last person standing, you get to take home $500,000, right? So it's a big prize. So there's no one to talk to except you're talking into a camera. You're recording all the events that are taking place as you try and survive. So you're dealing with the elements, you're dealing with wild animals maybe, you gotta find food, you gotta build a shelter for yourself so that you survive. When contestants are asked what was the most difficult or the biggest challenge that they had to go through during their time on that show, right? The weather, shelter, food, trying to fend off wild animals. The number one thing that they said was not having anybody to talk to. Think about that. Not having anybody to talk to. No one to commune with, no one to celebrate with, no one to be encouraged by, right? No one to cry with, laugh with. You're in the middle of nowhere and you're talking into a camera. We were created for a relationship, right? Brother John did a great job of using this portion of scripture to break down what love means, right? But if you look at this verse, right, Mark chapter 12, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second of these is love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater command meant greater than these. Love for God and love for people, right? At the root of this verse or these verses is relationships, right? Relationship with God and relationship with people, right? How do we relate to God and how do we relate to people? Fostering the relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and fostering a relationship with people. So the first big question I have for us this morning is, how are we doing in these areas, right? How are we doing in these areas? Fostering that relationship with Jesus and fostering relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you're to look at your calendar, right, the calendar is what tells us where our time is spent. How would these stack up, right? Most of us are awake, I don't know, 17 hours a day, maybe 16, 17 hours a day. If you looked at those 16, 17 hours in the day that we are awake, and yeah, we got to go to work and we got to do a bunch of things. We have responsibilities. Yes, we do. But where does fostering relationship with Jesus Christ stand in those 17 or 16 hours? Right? Time in the Word. Time studying the Word. Not reading it. Studying it. Breaking it down. Letting it speak to you. Time in prayer. Right? Not just going to the Lord with requests. I'm really good at that, by the way. I got a long list of stuff that I want Him to do for me. Right? And every now and then I got to say, wait a minute. Look at what you did for me in saving me. Forget the little problems that I have to deal with at work and whatever. But I want to praise you. I want to thank you. I want to adore you. Right? I want to abide in you. I want to be silent before you so you can speak to me. How are we doing in that area? Right? Are we fostering and developing our relationship with Jesus Christ? At the root of this verse is relationship. Relationship with Jesus and relationship with others. Right? So the same for people. Are you investing in people? Right? Are you meeting with them? Are you listening to them? Are you praying for them? Are you involved in their lives? Right? A love for God and a love for people. Now, there are many reasons why people find themselves alone, right? There's a lot of reasons why we end up alone and in some cases, even isolated. And I'm going to go through just a few of them this morning for us. Number one, not number one in a list, but number one in my list is sometimes people isolate without even knowing that they're doing it, right? Sometimes you isolate without even knowing that you're doing it. And I'll use this, our church here, as an example. So at the end of the service, there's people that stay and they mingle, right? And they talk to each other, right? Sometimes you may be one of those people that you just leave right away, right? You get up after the message is done and you duck out, right? And you wonder why you don't have a relationship with people within the church and you're not connected to them, right? Sometimes you isolate without even knowing it. And that's not just a problem within a big church, right? People will say they go to a big church and they don't have connection. It could happen right here in a small church like ours, right? If you just leave, right? I knew a guy, by the way, that after the service, he would just snap his fingers like this and say to his wife, let's get out of there. I knew that guy very, very well, because that was me, by the way, right? So it doesn't work. If you want relationship within the church family, you got to be engaged and involved in their lives. The early church did this very, very well. Look what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And they did this every single day. Right? We're trying to do it on a Sunday and maybe a Wednesday. Right? So we need to be engaged with people. Number two. Sometimes we isolate ourselves because of technology. I like that little astronaut thing up there, Michael put. Right? Sometimes we isolate because of technology. Now, this is a really, really big problem in today's world. Right? It affects homes, it affects workplaces, it affects relationships, you name it. We are on our phones and devices all the time. At the dinner table, right? When you're out with friends, when you're driving, right? I saw four people the other day in a car, and every one of them were on their phones. The mom, the dad, and all their kids on the phones at the stoplight. Phones are showing up in the church, right? I walk in a Sunday morning, and I see people on their phones. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? Maybe the five-minute countdown started, and they're texting their family, you know, you better get to church, you know, it's about to start. Maybe, I don't know. I see people on the phone after church. So I'm thinking, well, maybe you didn't make it to church, but it was a good message. Check out the recording. I don't know why people are on their phones. We are on our phones all the time. We were at the Forks a few months ago, Kathy and I and the boys. We sat down to have our meal. Four girls came, they sat right across from us, four of them. They sat down, they had their meals, they pulled out cell phones, all four of them, and for the rest of the meal didn't say one word to each other. Incredible. One word to each other. For an hour they sat there, not one word they were said. It's really, really sad. The other thing with social media is this. People will say they have friends, hundreds of friends, maybe thousands of friends. They're never going to get to meet and see them personally their entire lives. Is that a friend? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. And in this day of technology where people are connected, many live in loneliness and isolation, lacking real needed human connection, right? So technology is one reason that sometimes we find ourselves lonely and isolated. Number three. Sometimes people have been hurt or they're disappointed by others, so they isolate, right? And they stay in this unhealthy environment because they don't want to engage and have conversation with somebody about the situation. And I've seen this in the church. Somebody gets hurt, right? They pull back, they isolate. Sometimes they hold a grudge, and then before you know it, relationships are fractured and broken. It's very, very sad. And what we don't want to do, but we're called to do, is this. Right? Matthew 18 says that if your brother sins against you, you go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone, right? If he listens, you gain back a brother. If he doesn't listen, you take one or two others along with you, so that every charge may be established. You have a conversation with them, and the evidence of two or three witnesses will be made true. Sometimes we in the church are afraid to do this, right? But we're called to do this, to protect relationship and don't end up isolated. Even better yet, we should be doing this. Colossians 3 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive just as Jesus Christ forgave us, right? That's even better than the first one. But if there's a grievance that somebody has against somebody, don't isolate. Do not isolate. Don't pull back, right? It's one of the tools that the enemy uses. I'm going to touch on that later. Number four. Sometimes we grew up or we've grown up in an environment where you were taught not to share your feelings or what's going on, right? You hold those things in, right? That's where I come from. I'm not going to share. I'm not going to be open with others. But the Bible does say, if you have sins, what are you supposed to do? Confess it. And then you pray for each other. And when you pray for each other, you're going to get healed. There's healing that comes from that, right? So how many of us here this morning would say that you're sinless? Don't raise your hands, you'd be lying. Right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So none of us are sinless. And so here's what the Bible says. Because we are, none of us are sinless, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, right? The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So think about that for a second, right? Are you in the habit of confessing your sins to each other? Right? This is what it says here. Are you in the habit of confessing your sins to each other? When was the last time that you would say you confessed a sin to a brother or sister and the church. You all said that we weren't sinless, right? Nobody raised their hands. So if we're not sinless, this thing says we should be confessing our sins to each other, praying for each other, so that you may be healed. Are we doing that? Right? When was the last time you confessed a sin to a brother or sister in the body right here? Right, ponder that for a second, right? The Word of God says it. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I've been a Christian for 45 years. I've been in church leadership for over 20. And I've seen when people confess their sins to each other. Sometimes they confess it in public, right? And the Holy Spirit comes. And it's a beautiful thing when you do it. I've seen it in prayer meetings when people confess. And there's healing and there's transformation that takes place. And I think the beautiful thing about a church body that's really close, when somebody confesses a sin, there's no judgment, right? There's no judgment, right? If I confess a sin, it's not, oh, you know, I'm going to tell somebody what Ron Drapal just did. Did you know what he just did? You know what he just watched on his phone and he confessed it? There is no judgment, right? Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you can have healing. I've been healed when I've been humbled enough, right? It's about humility. Pride keeps us back from sharing these things that are going on in our lives. Jesus Christ says, confess it to each other. That's when healing becomes, when it's out in the open, because the devil wants us to keep those things in the secret, right? So it's a beautiful thing. I've seen when people confess and there is true healing. And then I've seen where, you know, I'll ask questions, right? If I'm in a group, I'm going to ask somebody, how's it going? Is there anything I could pray for? Is there sin in your life? Is there something you're struggling with? And I've had that question asked to people very clearly, and they'll say, no, I'm all good. Right? And I think, really, you're all good? Because we should look at it this verse, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Right? When somebody asks you what's going on, we're all sinless. Nobody raised their hands, right? I'm a sinner. We're all sinning. When a brother or sister asks you, they're not trying to get dirty laundry on you, right? They're wanting to pray. They want to intercede. So the all good makes me wonder every now and then, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart, right? The heart is deceitful, right? Above all things. It's the depravity of man that this thing speaks to in the Word of God. And when we don't share those things, like I said, it's pride, right? Humble ourselves towards each other and share, and we will be able to receive healing. One of the problems when we isolate ourselves is we're really seeking our own desire and we don't want to be held accountable, right? We just want to do our own thing. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment. Right? We don't want to stand in the place of accountability. We don't want to answer to anyone. We feel that whatever we're doing is right. And we don't want anybody to ask us and question us with regards to our action. And look at the next verse. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. He doesn't want to hear what others think, but he wants everybody to see his point and how he thinks. This really is a prideful person. He doesn't want to hear input from others, loving input. He only wants to hear what he wants to hear. And this thinking goes against a lot of the teaching that we'll see in the Word of God, right? If you look at Proverbs, there's a number of verses. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There's no more hope for a fool than him. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I wrote this down. The proud man, we learn, breaks out against all judgment because he invites destruction on himself. Arrogant makes his isolation dangerous. I don't need to spend time with anybody else. Brothers and sisters, we were made for relationship, right? You remember the old saying, there's strength in numbers, right? People, you'll hear that people say that, there's strength in numbers. That's because we're the most weak when we are isolated, right? Weak and vulnerable when we isolate ourselves. This verse here, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, right? Think about that. I was picturing this verse this morning, and Robbie gave me these new knives for Christmas. I love to cook. I've cut my hands so often now because of these sharp knives. But then Kathy gave me this sharpening tool. And you have to take this piece of iron against the other piece of iron, the knife, and you got to sharpen them. And it's like, there's some tension there, right? There's some sparks that fly. So iron sharpens iron means sometimes you're going to have to deal with some messy things, right? If you want to get under the hood and really understand what's going on in somebody's life spiritually, it may get a little messy. Iron sharpens iron, right? There's some tension in that process, right? It's not easy. I've had it where brothers have challenged me on stuff, and I think that's a little harsh, but it's the truth, right? Challenging somebody else as well. Iron sharpens iron. Now, one of the most dangerous things about isolation is this, right? It's one of the tools that the enemy uses, right? He's out to seek and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And he'll use the tool of isolation to make people believe and rationalize that they're better off alone. And that's exactly where he wants us, right? Because God speaks through the body. And he wants us to be disconnected from the body. So instead of hearing the voice of God through the body of Jesus Christ, that's us, we only hear his voice. Sadly, and sometimes we only hear our own voices, right? And we get really messed up. So isolation is a really, really big problem, right? We may not experience it here in this little church, and I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody, but the Lord spoke to me about being engaged and committed to a body, right? Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The enemy often uses isolation to weaken people. And when somebody's alone for too long, doubt, fear, and other lies start to creep into their minds and their way of thinking. And I'm going to close with an account that we're probably familiar with, the account of Elijah, right? One of the prophets, one of the great prophets in the Bible. And after, just to summarize, after a three-year drought, the Lord says to Elijah, go and reveal yourself to King Ahab and challenge him to a contest, right? So that's exactly what he did. He went to Ahab and he said, let's gather all of Israel, gather all the prophets of Baal, and we're going to have this contest. And the prophets of Baal, they were serving false gods. They weren't serving the true God. And so the contest was for Elijah and the prophets to build, I think I got a picture here. Yeah, build an altar. They were both to build an altar. And they were going to put a sacrifice on the altar. And they were going to pray. Each one of them were going to pray to God, and whoever answered by fire would be the true living God, right? So they build the altar, they put the bull on it, they put some wood on it, and they were going to both pray. So the prophets of Baal, they go first, and they cried out to their gods for fire to come down on their altar. They go from morning till noon, and nothing happens. Now Elijah gets a little cocky, and he says, hey, pray a little louder, maybe. Maybe they're away, maybe they're asleep, maybe they're on their cell phones, I don't know, right? But he says, pray a little louder. Nothing happens. So it's Elijah's turn. He gets some water, asks for water to be poured on the altar. It's hard for fire to burn things that are wet. But he starts to pray, and God answers his prayer. And fire comes down from heaven, and it burns everything. It burns the sacrifice. It burns the altar. Everything is consumed. Right? A great victory through this prophet as he cried out to his Lord and Savior, to God in this case. And then he experienced this right after the story. So Ahab goes and tells his wife Jezebel what had happened, and she's not happy about it. She says, go tell Elijah by this time tomorrow, he's going to be dead. I'm going to kill him. Right? He hears this, he gets afraid, and he runs off into the desert. And here's what he says after he's out there, all alone. I have it here. Here's what he says. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Is it up there? No, this is the last one, sorry. Yeah, I don't have that. I don't have the verse here. But that's 1 Kings 19, chapter 4. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Right? He just had one of the greatest victories ever. Calls for fire. It comes down and consumes everything. 450 prophets of Baal were killed that day. And then somebody says, I'm going to kill you. He runs off being alone. And he says, take my life, Lord, right? This just shows that isolation can distort reality. It makes us feel abandoned even when God is really with us, right? So it's a very, very dangerous thing for us to be living in isolation. It's a very, very dangerous thing for us to withdraw from the body of Christ. And so I'm going to close with this verse here. Hebrews 10. It says there, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as some are in the manner of doing, but exhorting one another daily, even more so as the day is approaching. Right? So, we're really blessed, like I said at the beginning. Right? We've got this great community here, Faith Community Church. We gather. We're growing. I see a relationship between us deepening. That's a wonderful thing. But we also need to be aware of this problem of isolation, right? That's where the enemy wants us, right? When things are going on spiritually, when things are going on relationally, because we grow and relationship, we have tension, right? I'm the closest to Kathleen. That's the closest relationship I have on this planet. There's tension there sometimes. I know, right? Yeah. There's tension there sometimes. And sometimes we want to isolate. And the longer we're separated from each other, her in one room, I'm in another room, it doesn't go well. Right? So it's a little picture for us. So it's a beautiful thing that the Lord is doing here. We're so thankful, right? David, myself, Clinton, seeing how the body's growing, right? Not just numerically, right? There's not, numbers doesn't make a church. It's are we growing deep spiritually? And we see that happening here. And so because of that, the enemy is going to throw some things at us. And one of his tools that he throws at us is the tool of isolation. Stay away. There's a problem. Don't go talk to that brother or sister. Keep it in. And before you know it, relationships are broken and fractured. So that's it. I'll pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for this church, like I said earlier. From the churches in the building, the church are us, the people within it. And so I pray that you would protect us from the enemy. You protect us from isolating ourselves, protect us from being alone. Father, we pray that we would take our relationship with you as the most important, that we would be alone with you and deepening that relationship with you. But Father, that we would also be very purposeful in growing our relationship with each other, speaking into each other's lives, sharpening each other, Father, as iron sharpens iron. We praise you, we thank you, we exalt you. Be with us for the remainder of today, Father. I pray these things in your name. Amen.